I got it all, but you got it all. I just popped the bean, you ain't got a call. Wanna kill me, so they gotta go. Wanna kill me, so they gotta fall. They don't love me back, I don't love the streets. If you love me back, then my love is deep. Small town trip, that's another week. Never had no kife, that's a twig. You can have all my love all the time, but you cannot have all my trust, girl, it's mine. I might give you half, all my grub, all my nine. When I'm in a trap, don't take drugs on my line. Baby, you can have all my love all the time, but you cannot have all my trust, girl, it's mine. I might give you half, all my grub, all my nine. When I'm in a trap, don't take drugs on my line.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Smoke is all in my lungs, but my judgment's not that cloudy. It's too high to get over on me. You lost your mind, think I found it. God damn it, I feel outstanding. Screens falling, watching Titanic. You still taking no for an answer? I'd rather take my chances. So loop the instrumental, get some things up off my mental. Pass the fire in the cipher, only smoking with my kinfolk. Whip paid off, but I push it like a rental. Baby bro, just bang my line and ask me what it's hitting for. Let's put one.
Like a hot knife through butter rail and stripes. I burn rubber, my loud pipe sign lights under that Chevrolet American muscle floating with a bad bitch. I love your music like magic. Double my hustle records. Don't spin freaks under the cover. Vinyl records, little static, you scratches, but we stay on the beat. Too much money in the streets for us to sleep. $100 joints drip, flicking them lavish asses all over this bitch. Persian rugs, California drugs. My car was assembled in Great Britain. My Rolex got diamonds for each minute. They've been watching my penis like television. Inside.
Let's put one in the air.
All time.
Let's put one in the air. Let's put one in the air. You say you don't give a fuck, but I know you really care. So high, so high, so high, so high, so high, so high. I think I caught a nosebleed from the elevation. Slide.
Good morning. It is Thursday, the 11th of the fourth month of the year, April. Here, 2019, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from the most western part of the continental U.S., continental North America, continental Canada. It's early in the morning, guys. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path, and I am your host, Issa Arian. We do this every Thursday. I apologize to you all for last week because I was in Vancouver. Sometimes it's just tough to get up in the morning. You guys, I'm sure you understand, you know, whether you're listening here and you're getting up in the morning or you're getting your kids ready for school, maybe you're in the car taking them to school, or you're just going to work, or maybe you're at work right now just thinking, holy shit, I need a break, and I know how I can get it. You know, listening to Issa for an hour. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather, so I sound a little nasally. I do not have, you know, the regular voice that I, you know, doesn't normally have. But if you're tuning in, you know, thank you. Tell your friends about it. So what we do here on Off the Beaten Path is we like to talk about some British Columbian news, some larger Canadian news, some like multinational, international news, a lot of news from down south or across the water. Introduce you to some new music, sometimes have some guests on here. Sometimes they're really, really smart. Sometimes they're just really, really interesting. A lot of the times, just people I know personally. So it's nice because while I think it's important for all of us to, you know, be smart, but it's really more important to know smart and cool people because you and I are not as smart and not as cool as we think you are. But I'm sure you have friends that are. At least I hope. Before we jump in just right into it, listen, we have a very, very packed show today. One, because there was no show last week. You know what that means? That means that basically I got 2 weeks worth of things to talk about. Also, 2 weeks worth of things to choose from and bring to you. Because what I like to do here on this show is not just bring you things that I like, but bring you things that I know that you need to know. You know, as you go into the weekend, maybe you have a date tonight, or, you know, maybe you're going to meet us at Hello Goodbye tonight. And you're like, you know what? I really need some fodder to start a conversation, you know, with someone that you maybe haven't talked to, or someone you want to impress, because I know that you'll learn something. And not only will you learn something, you'll have a pretty good perspective on it because I will provide it for you. Basically, think about this next hour of your life like a book fair. Remember how excited you used to be, you know, in elementary school, maybe even middle school when there was a book fair and they would set up all of the books, you know, in whatever room, you know, that was at in your school. Maybe that was like a multi-purpose room, or for us, it was the black box theater. And you would just walk through and you're like, man, so much wonderful knowledge out here. All of these books, I don't really know which one to get. And then one of the people running the book fair, probably a volunteer parent, just like here, CITR, volunteer, you know, just takes your hand and guides you to all of the books that you need. That's what this is like. It's like being in a book fair and then going to a bake sale afterwards. It's nothing better than that. But let's just start with the weather. So here in Vancouver, you know what I like to do is, if you're listening from outside of Vancouver, I really like to stunt with the weather. But this week is not a stuntastic week, nor will next week. But tune in next month for that. But if you are here in Vancouver, I like to give you a good weather forecast as you go into the weekend, because it's important to, you know, to just plan what is going on. And if you planned on being inside, that's great, because it's going to rain today, rain tomorrow, rain Saturday, rain Sunday, rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Listen, it's raining for 2 weeks. And it's fitting, because if you are like I, you still have like 11 episodes of Game of Thrones to watch before the season premiere on Sunday. And I cannot remember when the last time I was this excited for something. It might have been a book sale. It might have been the book fair. I am, like, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. Like, I got a whole show that is, like, you know, planned out and programmed. But if you wanted to call in on the phone and talk Game of Thrones for, like, an hour, I wouldn't be entirely upset about that. Like, I've got so many show predictions. You know what? I make this Game of Thrones theme show. Maybe. You know what? It's my show. I can do whatever the hell I want. But what we like to do here is really bring you the news. And I think that the news of Westeros might just be as important as the news in the real world. But let's just get started. So, you know, here in BC, there's really three and now four types of news stories that dominate the cycle, which is housing is one, homelessness, drugs, and now marijuana. But if you're a frequent listener of Off the Beaten Path and you are a fan, you know one thing we like to talk about here is when animals are seemingly taking back their rightful place on this earth. And we will get to that later, because this past week, I don't know if you've been watching the news, but I have. And there's a sad story about a highway in northern BC where 250 Dungeness crabs were just dumped on the side of the highway. And there's pictures, and I will tell you that being from Maryland, so if you have never listened to the show, I'm from Maryland, near Washington, D.C., not Baltimore. Just to let you know, because when you say, like, I'm born in Washington, D.C., grew up in Silver Spring. But if you say you're from Maryland, guess where idiots say you think that you're from? They think you're from Baltimore, and that's just not the case. However, if you're from Maryland, you know, it's crabs is like a tradition. I don't want to say it's a staple, because you can't have a staple food be like a delicacy at the same time, or something that you eat only on special occasions. However, you would never disrespect the crab. So for me, this is honestly probably one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in my life. 250 crabs just thrown out on the side of the road. I see that, and I see, wow, that is a crime punishable by at least 30 days in jail. And if you listen to the show before, you know I don't really give a shit about dogs or pretty much any domesticated animals, because they're just animals. Like, they are just animals to be used up and to, you know, that's really what it takes. But however, when I see crabs on the side of the road, it's like, what the hell? Officials believe it's linked to an ongoing illegal food sale, illegal seafood sales on the North Coast. But God damn, man, that is a total waste of crabs. You know how much Old Bay that I would need for 250 crabs? And when I say that as if I don't have enough, I definitely have enough. However, this is probably one of the most egregious cases of animal cruelty that I've ever seen. And not only is it cruel to animals, but it's cruel to people and people like me as well. But don't worry, guys. Later in the hour, the animals will get back for their wasted brethren, you know, that they have known to, animals will get back at them. You know what I like about being live on the air is that sometimes, because I don't know, sometimes you just get a little shaken up, you know? When I walked into the studio today, all the lights were turned on. And normally when I get here at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm the first person in here. And I really like it that way, because a lot of times when I do the show, I'm either reading or I'm sitting with my eyes closed. Because if you know me personally, talking is meditative. So is listening. Like, I'm also a good listener, but I'm a good talker as well. And I think that I watched the movie Us last night, so it might be my shadow. But getting back to this, so I walk in here and all the lights are off. However, today, when I walk in here, all the lights are on. Like, every studio in here has got lights on. Some of the doors are open. It's just, like, not normally how it's left. And then, like, a bunch of people just walk in here. And when I say a bunch, it was just one person. But that normally is one more person than ever comes in here while I'm in here. So, you know, sometimes it just throws me off. You know what else is throwing me off? Is that since the legalization of cannabis on October 17th, 2018, the price of weed has gone up like 30%. And it's not just due to taxes. It's due to supply and demand, but also government intervention. I remember a time where people were pushing for the legalization of marijuana. And I feel like Canada has been a real, like, a test case to the rest of the world and showing, like, what legal cannabis looks like, what the legal market looks like. And, you know, they really have, like, while other countries have already legalized marijuana, like Netherlands, and there are a few other countries who have already legalized it, like Portugal before Canada. I feel like Canada was the first country where people looked at as a maybe a real example of what the legal weed market would look like. And I think that Canada has ruined weed. Not ruined it, but weed used to be fun, and now it's just convenient. But it's not as convenient as it was 2 years ago, and it's more expensive, so... you know, if you are a fan of marijuana, then you probably would have noticed this hitting your pockets. And there's something that we can do about it. When we get back from this musical break, we're going to talk a little bit about homelessness and a little bit about the drug crisis here in BC and what opioids are actually taking away from us. It's important, and you won't want to miss.
Yeah. Look, tell them cut my motherfucking mic up. You can leave the lights up, just so everybody in the room can keep their eyes up. I'ma drop a banger just so I can get my price up. Damn, I gotta wise up if I wanna rise up. If I'm really that bitch, if I'm far from average, these niggas is mad rich, but I can make them richer. And that's the greater picture, that's when it starts to hit ya. It ain't about the journey, it's about who take it with ya. Cause I ain't tryna get into no issue with no underhand deals. And find out that you still in the spin on your man wheels. And that you really living all up in the damn hills. While I'm out in Alabama still having the planned meals. Cause checks don't come as often as they used to. Damn, this independent life gon' take some getting used to. Got my idols handing me the crown, they like it suits you. Only ones that matter, they can hit me on my Bluetooth. You knew. Look.
No squares in my circle. No no squares at all.
Ain't no squares, bitch. Yeah. Ain't no, ain't no. Yeah, yeah.
No squares in my circle. No squares at all.
Ain't no squares, bitch. Ain't no, ain't no. Yeah, yeah. Look, Millie Rock. Whoa. I just wanna make my whole city rock. Know that I'm able to shake up the table. I make them more pussy than city cops. Takes on the jack, gonna be placing a bet because now they all see what you really got.
Really got.
I got a feeling we going up. Whoa. I'm about to be at the tippy top. I keep them all on their tippy toes. I am not one of these pretty hoes. These bitches with ass are certainly gas, so we gon' see just how far pretty goes. I'm rather than golden, I'm royal. I ask that you only address you with Cheerios. Where in the fuck did she come from? Niggas is scrambling, not even Siri knows, bitch. I been down. I just kept my chin down. Where to put myself up in a spot where I can win now. No one ever thought I'd be in places that I'm in now. Looking back at teachers that were hating, and I grin now. Keep my circle small because them others are excessive. And when they see us all, they thinking shit, that's mad impressive. I'm about to make a name, make these people go insane. Cause you know my favorite game, always chess, never checkers. Yeah.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's best radio station. And I say best, like, not like in some hyperbolic way. Honestly, CITR is the best radio station here in Vancouver because Vancouver radio is trash. And it's not just because it's trash that CITR is the best. Like, I mean, CITR has the best programming. It's got the best programming managers. It's got the best magazine, the Discorder. It's just better. I mean, because if you've ever listened to Virgin, it was a 94.5 or 96.5 or any of those other stations, I mean, they might have the power, but we have the people. And I just made that up. So CITR, if you want to use that, you can pay me. So we're talking a little bit about the opioid crisis here in Vancouver. And so what you, like, when thinking about the drug crisis here, it's hard to imagine, you know, like, what the scale and what does it really look like? You hear about, like, opioid deaths and you hear about overdoses, you know, pretty much on a daily basis, you know, all across Canada and even in the United States. But it's hard to quantify, and it's even harder to identify, like, solutions. But we do know that nearly 11,000 people have died in Canada due to opioids in less than 3 years. And that's just the people who've actually overdosed and died. But imagine how large that number if we included, like lost their lives, like, to jail, or to, you know, who lost their kids, or, you know, their kids that need to be put in foster care or orphanages, or, you know, just lost their lives beyond, you know, and expand that definition beyond death, because I think that that is important as well. It's incredible to really think about those lives as people and people's families and stories, because those, you know, if you think about 10,000 people, or, I mean, 11,000 people have lost their lives, that's 11,000 families that have been, you know, affected by the opioid crisis. And it's not stopping, even to the point where there were all the, like, there's a large court case about fentanyl trafficking, which happened, which has been happening, like, over the last year, and all the charges have been dismissed against the two men due to the failures of Vancouver PD. So basically, two men were accused of masterminding an extensive drug trafficking operation. And they had $1.8 million in drugs, which included a large amount of fentanyl, cocaine, heroin, guns, basically all objects of harm, of community harm. Like, there's not one of those things that Vancouver is better with. And basically, what happened is that the Vancouver PD didn't do, you know, the necessary didn't take the necessary precautions or measures to secure the evidence. And so the judge basically said that all evidence taken during these searches should be excluded from the child, which effectively ended the prosecution. So all charges had to be dropped. So we have to, I hate saying that, like, you know, there's a war on drugs, because, you know, we understand, like, what that rhetoric is dog whistle for, at least in the United States. But it's clear that the people and the government need to be more vigilant in how they look at these drug cases, particularly because we're not just losing individuals' like lives. I mean, we're losing stories, and we're losing potential people who can do good for society. Like, I don't know. I mean, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Us and you plan to watch it, you should just turn it off. I'll tell you, just turn it down, and I will talk about this for 60 seconds, and I'll turn it starting now. So the movie is really, it's interesting because I had to read about it afterwards. So I watched it last night, and it's really about, like, seemingly opportunity and the ideas that we look at marginalized people, particularly poor people, maybe people strung out on drugs, people, you know, who do not have the same advantages that others do. And we look at them as derelict or, you know, having like this genetic predisposition to suffering and bad situations, when that's not true. It is all just opportunity and environment. And so when we look at drug addicts, we don't have to just, it's important to not just see someone who has failed themselves, but also as like a society that has failed to protect everybody from some of these things. And I don't think that we can put the responsibility on like society, but it does fall just beyond that individual. Like, everybody has a responsibility to each other, and people who are in those situations are not just in those situations because, you know, they're bad people. So when we think about the 11,000 people who've lost their lives, and there are many, many more people who have effectively lost their life, you know, from drugs, we have to look at them as like, wow, what could have been? And what can we do to make sure that that doesn't happen again? When we get back, we're going to be talking about a way some... Actually, you know what? I think that this... So there's the mayor in Maple Ridge, and he gave a speech about homelessness, using just a lot of bullshit facts, like talking about how the homeless people in Maple Ridge have come from out of town, talking about how a lot of the homeless people, you know, like over 90% of homeless people are addicts, and, you know, how crime has gone up. And a lot of those things are just not true. First off, talking about how the homeless people population has come out of town when over 50% of the people homeless in Maple Ridge are from Maple Ridge, and only 53% of those people are addicted to drugs. And so it's even in that, like in the politicians' understanding about what homelessness is, one, it's an outside problem that is affecting Maple Ridge, and two, it's a drug problem that's affecting Maple Ridge, instead of looking at how Maple Ridge has failed its own citizens and what can Maple Ridge do more for the people that live within their jurisdiction. And I think that if every politician or every community looks at it like that, like, you know, instead of saying that this is an outside problem, if you say, like, what can we do to better protect our citizens, then maybe we can make steps forward. Because what happens is that there's just band-aids put on, and maybe it will become better for some of those homeless people in Maple Ridge, but more often than likely is they'll just try to find a way to move those homeless people to another area, another city, and they're going to have to take care of it instead of trying to eliminate homelessness in general. When we get back, we are going to talk a little bit about what you can do to help better society and black holes.
It's a long line, it's a wait. Ask me, could it take me on a date? I say, nigga, no, never, nay. I'm not in the wrong, I'm in the lane, baby. Yeah. I'm not in the wrong, look at me alone. Got a boy at home. It's a long line, it's a wait. Ask me, could it take me on a date? I say, nigga, no, never, nay. I'm not in the wrong, I'm in the lane, baby. Baby, 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 baby. Bigger fish to fry, I can tell a lie. Walk away from me, that's my best advice. Chilling in the hills, hills advice. Can't be seen with you, you don't match my fly. Try to buy me lunch, you gon' pay the price. Baby, play your role, don't forget your lines. A presence is a gift, don't you act surprised. Breaking all these hearts, yeah. It should be a crime.
It's a long line, it's a wait. Ask me, could it take me on a date? I say, nigga, no, never, nay. I'm not in the wrong, I'm in the lane, baby. Yeah. I'm not in the wrong, look at me alone. Got a boy at home. It's a long line, it's a wait. Ask me, could it take me on a date? I say, nigga, no, never, nay. I'm not in the wrong, I'm in the lane, baby. Baby, 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 baby.
Bought it by myself, and it's by choice. You was on a bike, I was Rolls Royce. Act like macho man, but you little boy. Say you bought your green, rest in peace to Troy. We can't FaceTime, you got Android. I try to avoid, I got to avoid. All your texts avoid, I get so annoyed. Say I'm acting shy, I'm from Illinois.
It's a long line, it's a wait. Ask me, could it take me on a date? I say, nigga, no, never, nay. I'm not in the wrong, I'm in the lane, baby. Yeah. I'm not in the wrong, look at me alone. Got a boy at home. It's a long line, it's a wait. Ask me, could it take me on a date? I say, nigga, no, never, nay. I'm not in the wrong, I'm in the lane, baby. Baby, 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 baby.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. And if you'd like to call in, number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we're giving away tickets here on Off the Beaten Path and on Crimes and Treasons, which airs Tuesdays 8 to 10. It honestly is the best hip-hop show from coast to coast here in Canada. I don't think there is another show which has a better collection of house DJs and guest DJs. So if you'd like to listen to if you like to listen to new music, you like to listen to cool people talk about, you know, things you like to hear. Like we listen to hip hop from all the way from the UK down to the southern tip of Buenos Aires, all the way to Vancouver, basically all around the world, and bring it all into one place in 2 hours for you. That's Homeboy Jules, Relly Rels, Malik, Jamal Steeles, myself, Issa Arian, and Horsepower. We also give away tickets on that show as well. But we have tickets to Lakelly 47. Her show is next month. To the person who calls in and correctly guesses who dies first in Game of Thrones. And would there be a big death in the first episode? Like, there's only 6 episodes left. And we got about like 35 people to kill. So I mean, and I don't really know how we avoid a big death, but I don't know. I honestly can't wait. It's probably the most interesting thing going on in my life, which says a lot about me and a lot about you. So, I don't know if you've noticed, or I don't know if you know, but yesterday, all over, I don't know if you're a nerd, or maybe if you're just like nerd adjacent, you would have seen this, but we have photographed the black hole for the first time ever. This was a project of, I have to find her name. I'll find it. But basically, this is a project that this girl has been working on for a long ass time. And it's incredible because originally, like, black holes just theoretically existed. Her name is Katie Booman. And she's like a teen. Oh, she's 29. She's just like, yeah, she's. This is a project that she had just been thinking about since high school and really wanted to make it happen. And she did. So kudos to you, Katie Booman. Like, I was just thinking about it. Like, women have been really killing rap and then also killing science now. And then with Elizabeth Holmes, killing scamming. This is seems to be women's time to shine. But however, this black hole has been seen and never has before, never, like, it's never been seen before. And I think that it's incredible, because, like, what we know about black hole, I only know the limited basic science is that, like, it's just a mass that is just so dense, that it absorbs everything around it, including the light, and yeah, like, it just creates like the strong gravitational pull that just basically pulls everything in it, and things never return. And so, like, it just like eats up matter and light, and making just like, if you look at the picture, like in the middle is the black hole. And for me, it's just crazy that we can see a black hole, but. And you can explain it to somebody and people will believe you, but, you know, explaining racism to people still goes over people's heads. And then you have to show and prove it. It doesn't make any sense. There's so many things I would like to talk about in the next 22 minutes that I'm not sure I'm going to get to all of them. But let's just move on a little quickly. So there's a woman who's upset on how much a organ transplant costs in BC. And an organ transplant, let me just tell you, cost $10,000 less in BC than it does to birth a baby. And I think that that is ridiculous. And when you think about ridiculous things, think about this. A Canadian family drives home with a father's dead body in backseat to avoid U.S. healthcare costs. And this is something that we talked about yesterday at my job, just thinking about like the benefits of living in Canada versus the United States. And one of the things is just that going to the doctor is not as expensive. Like, I went and got an MRI in 2015 and I never went back to actually see what was wrong with my knee because my MRI cost me $2,100, even with a very, very good insurance plan. And my knee felt fine. So like, I was like, well, I'm not paying another $1,000 for my doctor to tell me that my knee's fine or, you know, that I might be able to have surgery on my meniscus or something like that. And this Canadian family drove from Florida all the way to Quebec because their 87-year-old dad had died on a family holiday. He died of a heart attack. And basically, they had decided that Well, I'm not going to take our dad to the hospital in the United States because it's going to cost us, you know, 25, 30 grand for us to tell him, for them to tell us that he's dead. And so they drove with him all the way down to, they drove away all the way to Quebec, which is about 1,000 miles. People were more surprised about that he died than surprised that they did that, which is, says incredible things about United States healthcare and how it is just ridiculous. So when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about what you can do for the earth. I know I said we're going to talk about it now, but I think it's important to, you know, have things in moderation, including me. And when I say we get back, I didn't actually mean we're going anywhere. Listen, you're here with me for the next 20 minutes. Listen, we're going to have a great time. Because not having kids is a way to cut your carbon footprint, environmentalist groups say. And there's a group which is called the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement, or pronounced vehement. And this is something that I think about. Like, I guess since I don't have kids, and I don't have kids yet, you know, I think about it, I'm like, you know, I didn't consent to being born. This all sparked when that man sued his parents for being born. You know, and I'm like, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I didn't consent to being born. We complain literally almost every day. Not just me, but, like, people in general complain every day about bills and about what is adulting and responsibilities. And honestly, I sympathize and empathize with everybody because none of us asked to be here. Like, there's not a single person who was like, you know what? This is where I want to be, and this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, is just be here and it is, like, I didn't ask for this. And so thinking about a way to not put that on my kids is maybe to just not have kids in the first place. You know, and maybe take care of some kids who are here, who need some love. And so there are ways that you can decrease your environmental impact. Like, BC is trying to introduce a bill that would make it mandatory for every car sold by 2040 to be zero emission. And, like, I'm sorry, but that thing is a little too fucking late. Excuse my language, but I feel like when talking about climate control, you have to be, like, very, very passionate about it because it's too late to say 2040, zero emissions, because we have those now. Like me, I take the bus, and our buses here are run on electricity, and we have hydroelectric power, which is some of the cleanest power that you can have. And so I feel like I'm doing my job riding my bike and taking the bus, you know, to having less emissions. But, you know, I have to do double to make up for you people who have kids, badass kids who eat out of styrofoam containers and still use straws and have those little juice boxes and Capri Suns that you throw in the trash, disposable diapers and baby wipes that you flush that clog up our toilet systems. Like, if you think about it, having kids is irresponsible. And that's that. But I appreciate my sister for helping me out and sending me the girl's name, Dr. Booman, who found the black hole. Because you know what that means? Listen, my family supports me and they're listening. Shout out to Dominique. She's great. She's also killing it. And so we talked a little bit about how people can't see racism. But you know what? Churches are still getting burnt to the ground in 2019. And I feel like if that doesn't show you that racism still exists, then you're probably an idiot. Before we touch on this, my favorite type of story, I'm going to need a break because I'm going to need to get my shit together. So stay tuned.
love Japan. I need a rave. I need a place. I need a case. Millen is safe. I need a view. I need a pool. I need a jeweler. I need a jewel. I need a Lele nightcap. I need a boo. I need a skirt. I need a cool.
So if you've listened to the show before, what you know here is that, like, I'm a strong proponent of, you know, for the human race, the entire human race. However, I have a great deal of respect for animals, not in the sense that, like, I like dogs or I like cats, like, you know, to be domesticated. Listen, I don't think animals should be your slaves, and I don't think that you should like them to be your slaves either. Honestly, I think that is what has drawn me to cats. Like, honestly, I just love cats now, and I think that is cool. But the idea and why I like cats is because there's no such thing as a domesticated cat. Like, we call cats domesticated, but there's no such thing. All cats are wild. It's just big cats and small cats, you know, and we have found a way to keep small cats as pets because, like, yeah, they'll attack you, but, like, you'll survive it, you know. You can't keep a big cat as a pet because, like, yeah, you can, you know, while it likes you, you can live with it. But, like, once it attacks you, you can't survive it. Like, I 100% guarantee that everybody who owns a cat or has been around a cat has been attacked by a cat, at least been scared by a cat, no matter how small the cat is. Anyways, if you listen to the show, what I'd like to talk about here is that, you know, people, I mean, and animals having their rightful place in the world. And I like the idea that animals have not given up the fight, you know, just haven't just given it up to humans, you know, like that, just like let it happen. And it's interesting. So earlier this week, a rhino poacher was killed by an elephant and then eaten by lions. And so what you have to understand about poaching in Africa is highly lucrative business. It's like drug dealing, and it's highly illegal. So highly lucrative, highly illegal. It's like drug dealing or smuggling or anything like that. And so what you have to understand is that there are poor people who are drawn to this profession because of what it can bring, just like drug dealing in the United States or anything that has a lot of risk. And even the rewards might not be that high, but in Africa, it's different because while your risk are going to jail or, other poaching groups or just rangers in general, people protecting the animals, you also have to worry about the animals themselves because the animals will protect themselves. And so what we hear about this poacher, and we are rooting for the animals. And so I initially always root for the animal. Even when that man killed the cougar in Colorado, I was rooting for the cougar. Like when I go on a hike, only person I'm rooting for is me. Like if you go on a hike with me and we get chased by a mountain lion, I'm rooting for myself. I'm not rooting for us to make it out. Like I'm rooting for me to make it out. Like, and while as selfish as that sounds, I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. Like I am not looking to make a sacrifice. So just keep that in mind. Like, if you know me, there's some times I will stand in the way of harm. Like, on a fight I think I can win. Even fights where I think it's evenly matched. Or even a fight where I think I'm slightly at a disadvantage. Like, let's say I think, this happens. And I work in a bar on the weekend, so this happens often frequently. Is that, there will... I wouldn't say frequently, but it happens, where a woman is assaulted by a man. And so I need to approach that man. And I'm in the bar, and I work with other people, but I'm really there by myself. And this person, assumingly, is with his friends. So when I approach him, there's a chance that there will be some fisticuffs to be had. And in those situations, I'm like, you know what? Beat up all of these people. I'm not really worried. And, it could be two or three people. And I might not be able to, but I feel like it. So I do it. But we're in the woods and there's a bear chasing us. Like, I won't trip you, but if it's like just enough room for one of us to squeak by, I hope you're fast. And if I'm hiking with somebody, like I was hiking with my friend who plays professional, he's a professional athlete. And if there's a bear attack and he outruns me and I get caught by the bear, honestly, I won't even be mad at him. Like, I feel like that's just real life. Thinking about this, and with the Lion King coming out, do we think that maybe these animals are working in tandem? Like, what if we have pushed animals so far to where that, they can communicate across species to each other, like an elephant and a lion and rhinos can communicate to each other and saying hey, yo, rhinos, bro, watch out. There's people coming after that ass. And then the rhinos are like, good luck. I'm going to stay low for a little bit. But, when the lion poacher pop out, listen, I'm gonna let you know. And then the elephant was like, you know what, guys? They're not looking for me. I don't even have any tusks. Because if you know this, this is something that I found interesting reading about the story, is that elephants are evolving to not grow tusks because it's their ivory that's valuable and they're being killed for the ivory. So they've evolved to not even grow tusks. That's crazy. Like in the last 100 years, that's an evolutionary practice that has been going on. And when understanding how evolution works, you understand that maybe the elephants are just not, those elephants are just not being killed. So they are the type that are able to reproduce. But what you see is that less of those elephants are getting killed. And anyways, so what if we have allowed, animals to communicate across species? I think that is the most interesting thing. But anyways, in Mozambique and Tanzania, which is where this happened, you see that lions eat lots of people. And so this is just another... side effect of us killing off all of their prey. They like lions go on lion and they need to eat. Before we wrap this show up, there's a lot of stories that are just too crazy to think about. First off, a report just came out that Amazon admits that their devices are listening to you all the time, and that Amazon employees can listen to your conversations, and then they have been listening to your conversations. So if you have an Alexa and you care that people are taking it out, or people are listening to you, take it out of your house and sell it. Also, a scientist wants to make hangovers a thing of the past with synthetic alcohol. Now, if you have ever known anybody who smokes synthetic weed, or you might have been dumb enough to smoke synthetic weed yourself, you know that fake weed causes seizures. And so since they don't know what this fake alcohol costs, pass. Since we talk about scamming a lot, a father faked a home invasion so that he could steal the profits of his daughter's Girl Scout cookies. And I am just very interested in how he got caught. Brian Couture is his name. Called the police to report that money had gone missing after a home invasion. And later he admitted that he did that to plot an elaborate scheme to cover up the missing money. And it's interesting because he called the police to save himself. I mean, called the police on himself. I guess the guilt was just too much. However, since Thin Mints are, you know, the cousins of crack, I do not blame him. I mean, stealing from your daughter's bad. But snitching on yourself, I guess. I don't really know. I mean, that's not something I would do. I would never have stole the money from my daughter in the first place, because what type of father steals from his daughter? But once it's already done, like, it's a wrap. Let's see. Komodo Island in Indonesia has really been disappointed because they had to close the island until 2020 because people are stealing the lizards. And now, it's crazy because this animal smuggling business is insane. Like, it's not even something I think about. Like, I've never thought about smuggling an animal. But apparently, Komodo dragons go about $35,000 each, and there's about 2,000 Komodo dragons on this island, and people are stealing them to sell them. Who the hell wants a Komodo dragon in a house? That's like saying, I want a pet dinosaur. It's crazy. But also, we didn't get to touch on this story, but an Arby's manager is charged with murder for killing a customer who spit on her. And I 100% feel that, because you spit on me, listen, you gotta go. Thank you. We do this every hour, every Thursday from 7 to 8 PST. Tune in next week. We'll have a great show for you. Tune in the week after that. It'll be a great show. Or you can listen to the shows that have gone on in the past. Tell your friends about it, because, listen, it's a great break. It's a great hour. And look at all of the knowledge that you have gained. Y'all have a good day. I'm out.